This is Nightly Business Report with Tyler Matheson and Sue Herrera.
Market mood. New records are reached as investors ask why stocks are turning a deaf ear to any bad news.
Fair price. Good deals may be hard to find in a rising market, but our market monitor says he found some.
A border mall. Will the developers of a new South Texas shopping center run into a wall? Literally. Those stories and more tonight on Nightly Business Report for Friday, May 26th. Good evening, everybody. I'm Sue Herrera.
And I'm Bill Griffith, in tonight for Tyler Matheson, coming to you this evening from the New York Stock Exchange. Now, if someone had told you that amid choppy economic data, a decline in oil prices, and tumult in Washington, that stocks would be at or near all-time highs, would you believe them? Well, that's exactly where the markets are today. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ pushed further into record territory today, and with just two trading days remaining in this month, it appears as if investors decided not to sell in May and go away after all. Today, the Dow finished down just 2 points to 21,080. The NASDAQ added 5. That's a record. The S&P was up fractionally. That's a record. And for the week, the major indexes all saw solid gains. Bob Pisani takes a look now at why nothing seems to be rattling this market.
The markets are not people, but they do have moods, and the mood right now is, I don't want to hear it. The Dow dropped 370 points last Wednesday on reports that former FBI Director James Comey had written a memo alleging that President Trump asked him to drop an investigation into Michael Flynn. Concerns about obstruction of justice were raised at that time. But the next day, the markets acted like it was no big deal. A week later, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ rose to record highs. It wasn't just a few momentum stocks, by the way, like Facebook and Amazon, that moved. Yesterday, roughly 220 stocks hit new highs on the New York Stock Exchange. We haven't seen that in a while. But a few risk factors are still very real. The Trump agenda, for example, is limping along because the Comey-Russia issues are not going away. Oil also is not cooperating, another big problem. It's below $50. And finally, we've had very choppy economic data in the second quarter after a rocky first quarter. Now, normally, you would think these would be big problems for the stock market. So why are the markets clearly turning a blind eye, at least for the moment? Dozens of traders are telling me it's just not that bad, Bob. In fact, it's pretty good. Consider the global macro picture is improving, and the dollar has been trending weaker. Earnings are growing, and guidance has been better than expected, especially for technology stocks. And jobs are in great shape. The Fed also is on the slow path to raising rates and to reducing their balance sheet. And oil? Traders are saying oil really is in the same relatively tight trading range that it's been in for the last 6 months or longer. It's like I said, everyone says, I just don't want to hear it. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Bob Pisani at the New York Stock Exchange.
But on the flip side, a new report shows that investors pulled cash from U.S. stock funds for the fourth straight week. According to Lipper, $10 billion were withdrawn last week, and that's the second largest outflow of the year. So is there something lurking beneath the rally that we need to be aware of? Michael Yoshikami is the founder and CEO of Destination Wealth Management, and he joins us to talk about that. Good as always to see you, Michael. Welcome back.
Hi, Sue.
Let's start with that fundamental question. You know, Bob really laid it out perfectly, what the market's mood is right now, but then you have juxtaposed to that that statistic that funds have been flowing out. What do you make of that?
Well, here's what's interesting, Sue. It sounds like a real negative, right, that money is flowing out of U.S. equity funds, until you ask where did the money actually go. Is it going into cash? Is it going into bonds? No. It's going into more aggressive international and emerging market funds. So clearly the risk appetite is still there, and I believe is going to continue to be there, particularly if rates continue to stay low. And the latest GDP numbers that show very sluggish growth, in my view, is not going to cause the Federal Reserve to act anyway outside of cautious.
You know, Michael, I was always taught that you were supposed to sell high, and the markets are at record highs. People are selling. That, you know, can you blame them for that? The people I worry about are the ones who have missed this rally and are waiting for that proverbial correction to hit the market before they get into this market right now.
You know what's interesting, Bill, is we actually hear from investors that say, listen, I've been out since Trump was elected. I've been out for the last year. I've been waiting for the correction. And they are starting to give up. Now, that is a warning sign that we all need to be aware of, because typically the last person in is probably the most dangerous investing time when the last person moves in. But I think that what you really actually see is there's so much cash on the sidelines, Bill, that what's happening is any dip down in the market, like we saw earlier this week, I think it was earlier this week when the market went down a significant amount, you have this buying pressure on the side just waiting to get back into the market. And I think that's really what is continuing to keep the market levitating where it's at right now.
You also like Europe. Why?
Well, I think Europe is the second best place to invest besides the United States. I'm not a big fan of emerging markets. Who knows what's going to happen in South Korea? Brazil's obviously a disaster, as well as much of Latin America. And Europe is actually getting some sense of stability. The French election, I think, reassured investors. And the Brexit exit looks like it's not as disastrous as many predicted. Many European companies are multinational, so they do sell on a global basis. And I think Europe's just been oversold for too long.
All right, Michael, enjoy the long weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Michael Yoshikami with Destination Wealth Management.
Elsewhere, economic growth was revised higher for the first quarter. According to the Commerce Department, their second read on GDP, the economy grew by 1.2% on an annualized basis during the first 3 months of the year. Consumer spending growth was higher than originally thought, while inventory investment was far smaller than previously reported.
Orders for durable goods fell in April for the first time in 5 months. A key category in the government report that tracks business investment was flat for the second straight month. Despite the decline, American manufacturing has regained some momentum after being hurt by a strong dollar and weak growth overseas.
President Trump attended his first G7 summit today, where tensions hung over some key global issues. Leaders from the world's industrialized nations reached an agreement on the need for internet companies to crack down on extremist content, but the group failed to make a breakthrough on climate change. The president has not yet made a decision on the 2015 deal on reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And there's also the issue of trade, which was actually not officially on the agenda, but which the head of the European Commission commented on today nonetheless.
We'll stand up here, as we are always doing, for our shared values of freedom, democracy, rule of law, and respect for human rights. We do believe, as Europeans, in open societies, and we are always seeking multilateral solutions. We want to build bridges, not walls.
Mr. Trump wraps up his first overseas visit tomorrow.
While China is not part of the G7, it is trying to make inroads into the American auto market, something that's proven difficult for a Chinese company to do. And while the automaker hopes its new design will turn heads, it's the name of the flagship brand that's getting all the attention. Eunice Yoon is in Guangzhou.
If the Chinese company behind this car gets its way, you'll soon see this SUV on American roads. State-run GAC Motor believes vehicles like this have all that it takes to win over U.S. drivers.
But depending on your politics, the brand name could be a problem or reason to buy. This car is a Trumpchi.
We called it Trumpchi in 2010, he says. We never imagined that 7 years later, the name would sound so similar to the name of President Trump. The president of Trumpchi, Yu Jun, says his ambitions for the U.S. are huge. Trumpchi, which translates to delivering goodness, was the fastest-growing Chinese car brand in China last year and won high marks for quality, giving the automaker the confidence to believe it can beat the odds and do what no other Chinese car brand has been able to achieve, conquer the U.S. American drivers are like Chinese drivers, he says. They both like big sizes, big spaces, and luxury interior.
The plan is to export cars like this one from Trumpchi's factories in China. Yu is considering partnering with a U.S. automaker to produce locally, and he sees potential to build his own American factory down the line.
Despite the anti-China rhetoric out of the White House, Yu says Trump Xi is in it for the win when it starts selling there in 2019. If we can succeed in the U.S. market, we can succeed anywhere in the world, he says.
Is the Trump name a help or a hindrance?
It's hard to say, he says. We're still trying to figure that out. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Eunice Yoon in Guangzhou.
Still ahead, if you build it, will they still come?
I'm Jane Wells. I've walked out on the streets of Laredo, where thousands of vehicles pass through every day in the border between the U.S. and Mexico. Also right here, two developers have built a mall, hoping no wall will stop Mexican shoppers seeking American low prices. We have that next.
UPS has been ordered to pay nearly $250 million in damages and penalties to New York City and state for illegally shipping untaxed cigarettes. The shipping company said the fine was excessive, considering that the shipments only generated about $1 million in revenue for the company. It plans to appeal that decision.
President Trump has vowed to build a wall, but developers are building a mall not too far from the border, and the shopping center is banking on Mexican shoppers. Jane Wells reports tonight from Laredo, Texas.
Laredo, Texas is the nation's largest land port. $200 billion in goods pass through here annually. But on the streets of Laredo, the local economy is heavily dependent on shoppers, specifically shoppers crossing over the Rio Grande from Mexico.
Our local economy is easily 40% or more dependent on the Mexican shopper.
With that in mind, developers spent $120 million to build a massive outlet mall right along the river on the U.S. side of the border.
We did it because Mexican consumers love brands. They aren't able to buy a lot of the brands that we have here in Mexico. And when they can, they're more expensive than here. And they like the labels and they like the prices.
The city kicked in millions of dollars in incentives to get this mall built, and it finally opened in March, just as the new administration was talking tough about Mexico, and owners found themselves potentially running into a wall, literally.
The timing was challenging. There's no two ways about it.
But CEO Gary Skoyan says so far sales have been brisk, $4 million in 2 weeks. Outlet malls have outperformed the rest of retail because they're seen more as destinations. Perla Calderon from Mexico is shopping here for the first time and likes having the new stores so close. But sales tax receipts in Texas border towns are down. Some blame President Trump scaring people away. Some blame a weak peso.
There has been lower people from Mexico coming because of the whole Donald Trump thing, but if they have money they like to spend it, they come.
And the mayor is hopeful a physical wall will not be built in Laredo, since the border is right in the middle of the Rio Grande.
We're very welcoming toward the Mexican shopper, simply because that's our nature, but also it's good business, you know, for our city.
He hopes low prices and a welcoming attitude will keep shoppers coming, even if getting here becomes more complicated. For Nightly Business Report, Jane Wells, Laredo, Texas.
Web.com may want to go private, and that's where we begin tonight's Market Focus. Reuters says that the internet domain name provider has started early-stage talks with private equity firms after unnamed parties expressed takeover interest in the website builder. The company's market cap sits just above $1 billion right now. Web.com shares popped nearly 9% today. It closed at $23.10 a share. Chipmaker Qualcomm is going to pay BlackBerry nearly $1 billion to settle a fight over royalty payments that we told you about last month. Qualcomm is expected to pay that amount by the end of this month. Qualcomm shares fell a fraction to $57.52. BlackBerry was down 1% to $11.11. And Big Lots has raised its earnings outlook for the year following a better-than-expected profit, but the discount retailer did miss revenue expectations due to a surprise decline in same-store sales. Company also sees profit for the current quarter above estimates. As a result, shares rose almost 3% today to close at $49.79. Sue?
Bill Newell Brands is selling its winter sports business to a private equity firm for $240 million. The consumer goods company says the deal is part of its ongoing growth strategy to simplify its portfolio. The shares were up a fraction to $53.19. Shares of Deckers Outdoor continued to soar today following the company reporting a surprise profit last night. The maker of UGG boots and Teva sandals did see sales fall, but those results still managed to top street expectations. Deckers was up just about 19% today to $67.21. And shares of GameStop got hit today despite reporting its first sales increase in five quarters after the bell yesterday. The video game retailer said strong demand for the Nintendo Switch gaming console helped its overall profit and revenue picture. But GameStop was down 6% to 22.22.
Now to our market monitor. He has names of stocks that he says are reasonably valued in a market that he says is a little bit on the expensive side. This is his first time joining us on the program. He is Ernie Cecilia, Chief Investment Officer at Bryn Mawr Trust. Ernie, good to see you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
We start with J.P. Morgan Chase. I mean, clearly the banks have suffered. This is not the environment for them. But why do you pick that stock right now?
Well, we see the economy expanding at a sufficient pace to improve loan demand. And loan demand really is the driver of bank stocks and bank earnings. So we see Jamie Dimon as a terrific CEO at the helm of this bank. The balance sheet is very strong and therefore very well capitalized. So we see the risk being relatively low here in terms of any problems. And the bank has made significant investments in technology across its platform for both consumer banking and for its asset management business, which I think is a little under the radar. So we see a lot of good value here for long term, looking at the next three to five years with a nice dividend and strong dividend growth.
Okay, let's go to Skyworks Solutions. You say it's well capitalized and with consolidation in its particular area, it will either acquire or perhaps be acquired.
Right. Hi, Sue. Skyworks is not one of your household names, perhaps. Mm-hmm. As you say, it's a semiconductor company, and it's involved in the integration of wireless technology, particularly in the mobile side. One of its largest customers is Apple. So think of it this way. It's another way of playing, if you will, or participating in iPhone sales, but not directly through Apple, which has performed well. So this company is growing its top line, its sales, that is, at about 18% a year and bottom line at 34%. So this is an attractive way of getting inside, if you will, into technology, into an $18 billion market cap company.
Finally, another bank. This one's a regional, though. Union Bank shares there in Virginia. Why this one?
Yes, Bill. Unlike the size of J.P. Morgan, this is a $1.5 billion market capitalization. Headquartered in Richmond, Virginia, it's the largest bank state in Virginia. We think Virginia has strong demographics, strong geographics. Earlier, they announced acquisition of Zenith Bank shares, which gives them an inroad into the Hampton Roads market. And we do think regulatory reform will happen, and it will disproportionately benefit smaller banks like Union Bank shares. So we like it long term.
You know, you expect some pretty decent returns out of the three picks that you gave us. But how do you feel about the overall market, specifically as it pertains to valuation?
Yeah, well, we think the market is a bit expensive, if you will, on an earnings basis. We see it at least a full multiple or one times on a PE basis, more expensive than history. When we look out over the next 5 years or so, Sue, we see earnings growth in the 4.5% to 5% area. We see dividends tagging on, if you will, 2%. So again, this is U.S. So we see returns in the 7% area, which are certainly lower than the historic returns, which might be closer to 9% to 10%, and some of the big returns we've witnessed more recently, but still very attractive on a long-term basis and particularly attractive relative to inflation.
Ernie, good job. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Sue. Happy Memorial Day.
You too.
And same to you.
And on this holiday weekend, coming up, taking the stress out of traveling.
I'm Contessa Brewer at DFW Airport, where the goal is for every traveler to be a happy traveler. And you won't believe the amenities they're offering to try to make that happen. That's coming up on Nightly Business Report.
Used car prices are falling, and that is because 3.5 million of them are expected to come off lease this year, increasing the supply of low-mileage used vehicles. A lot of those vehicles will be sedans, not SUVs, which are still high in demand. Those cars will be harder to sell, and that could ripple throughout the auto market, pushing down prices of new vehicles as well.
We told you yesterday that new security measures at some airports could cause lines to grow this summer. But once you clear those checkpoints or just find yourself with a little extra time in the terminal, there are companies making it their business to help you de-stress. Contessa Brewer reports for us tonight from Dallas.
Step off the plane at DFW Airport, and you just might get an opportunity to pet Max.
Good boy. You can just pet him, man. He's okay. So used to people.
Max and dozens of other therapy dogs began roaming the terminals with their human handlers last October.
She's had a hard day. Yeah, she'll sweat you.
The results are obvious and instantaneous.
Very few people walk by without coming to pet him. It just makes everybody smile. It makes everybody happy.
You know what else makes a cranky traveler happy? A nap. At Minute Suites, you can plop down $42, and for one full hour, you get, 56 square feet of beautiful peace and privacy, enough space for two people to stretch out for a little shut-eye without ever leaving the terminal.
It's definitely got enough space and some privacy, and you actually relax and catch some satellite television and zone out for a little bit and forget the fact that I'm at an airport terminal.
Pay a little more, you get a shower. That's a plus for passengers getting off a long international flight. Along with locations in Atlanta and Philadelphia, Minute Suites host 2,000 guests a month.
The American airports are understanding to compete on the international market, they need to have a place like this, a place of respite for travelers. They can sleep and relax.
DFW is the 10th busiest airport for travelers in the world. To get a competitive edge against other global hubs, this airport is upping its game.
In today's society, customers and passengers have choices in where they want to connect and where they want to fly out of. And we think that if we can create a better experience here at DFW International Airport, they'll choose us over any other airport.
And it's working. DFW was just named the best large North American airport for customer satisfaction. Those customers find mood lighting and comfy couches at security, a yoga studio to find your inner zen, play space for children, good food at every price point, free Wi-Fi, world-class shopping that's about to premiere a first-of-its-kind duty-free mall, volunteer ambassadors to show you around. But DFW, you had me at hello, doggy.
That's a good dog. Who's a good doggy dog?
For those who complain air travel's gone to the dogs, at least here, you're absolutely right. Contessa Brewer, Nightly Business Report, DFW Airport, Texas.
You have a dog?
From airports to marinas, where boat sales are cruising into the summer season at a solid pace. Landon Dowdy is in New Smyrna Beach, Florida.
For boating enthusiasts, the long Memorial Day weekend is the kickoff to the summer season. There could be more people heading out on the water now that boat sales are at their highest level since the recession. And for dealers like Tom Julierez, the pickup in demand has been keeping him busy.
Sales are up around 30% over last year. You've got a change in office. You have the stock market is at an all-time high. You've got good job reports.
Sales of powerboats are expected to rise this year and next year. However, high-end manufacturers like Boston Whaler aren't counting on mega yachts like these for that growth.
overall demand at that yacht segment is a little soft. We've seen it in the industry data over the last 3 to 4 quarters.
The slowdown is being attributed to a stronger dollar, which has helped European competitors. Add to that growing concern from potential buyers that Washington won't be able to pass the tax cuts that they're expecting. Boat manufacturers are facing another challenge, not enough workers. At Boston Whaler's manufacturing plant in Florida, boats are made by hand and can take up to 4 months to complete. The company says it's having trouble filling open positions because of a lack of skilled workers and a wave of retirements. And while industry experts don't expect sales to get back to pre-recession levels, they are optimistic that middle market buyers will keep the industry afloat.
When I look at the overall portfolio, we're seeing strong demand for pontoons, 21 to 25 feet. We're seeing strong demand for that recreational day boat, 30 to 35 feet with outboard power.
For Nightly Business Report, I'm Landon Dowdy, New Smyrna Beach, Florida.
Finally tonight, a celebration of sorts for here at the New York Stock Exchange. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 121 years old today. How time flies. When it was first published, the Dow's holdings included companies that represented each sector of the market and the economy. It included names like American Cotton Oil, American Sugar, and one that we're all still familiar with today, Sue. That would be General Electric, which, by the way, is still the only company that started, and it's still in the index today.
And it's still there. Yeah, it is. Yep. Terrific. Bill, thanks so much. You have a great long weekend.
You too.
That'll do it for Nightly Business Report. I'm Sue Herrera. Thanks for watching.
I'm Bill Griffin. Do have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you again back here on Monday for a special Memorial Day edition of NBR. Good night.